Worst Taco Tuesday ever, because the Choco Taco discontinued. I guess we'll forgive you for that, because we were not a Marquette house. We were a Badger house.
Hey, Catholic University, I can be forgiven, right? Forgive me.
Enough rosemaries. Yeah, exactly. You'll be fine.
Rosaries. Like the doors like light my fire, and it's like the time to hesitate is through. No time to wallow in the mire. Time to get your old fireplace taken care of.
Moving Wisconsin forward, one joke at a time. This is Kristen Bry with As Goes Wisconsin.
Yada yada yada.
Welcome, welcome, welcome to As Goes Wisconsin. Happy National Scotch Day. Happy National Chicken Finger Day. That is quite the combination, if you ask me. Our guest host today is the Midwest Regional Manager for Main Street Alliance, a national network of small business coalitions that create opportunities for real small business owners to speak for themselves. Here in Wisconsin, he works with over 500 local small businesses. Sean Fetteplace, thanks for being here today. How you doing?
Good. How you doing?
It's a crazy, I feel discombobulated today. I feel all over the place. I was prepping for today's show and preparing and trying to think about the things that we were, you know, we connected yesterday, talking about the topics we were going to talk about today. And then I was totally flabbergasted by this morning's breaking news that one of the front runners in the Senate race for the primary, the Democratic primary, Alex Lazary, has dropped out as of this morning. And so we had specifically said we weren't going to talk about the Senate race. And now I kind of feel like we have to.
It's like when you think you're done, you pull me back in a little bit, the Pacino quote. But it was actually really funny. I was walking down Johnson Street this morning, going to Johnson Public House to do some work. And Mandela actually biked by me on the right. He's like, hi, Sean. And he looked really happy. And now I know why he looked so happy, because he probably knew that this was going to happen today. And yeah, certainly interesting and certainly unexpected.
Yeah, I, you know, we were talking about it yesterday. I had my guest yesterday, Phil Rocco, who is a, you know, has his doctorate in political science. He is a Marquette University professor. And we had discussed, he was talking about these kind of invisible primaries as far as how things behind the scenes, what we don't see on the news, what lay people, like I will say, I would put myself in that category, as far as Mandela's been raking in endorsements from not just like party leaders that are super progressive, but party leaders that are even more moderate, that it was kind of a signal. And so some people maybe not be surprised at all. I certainly, with as much money of his personal money that he threw into the race, it is shocking to me that he would not at least wait to see what the primary would be. But again, I'm not a political strategist. And so if this is kind of what inside party politics looks like, as far as like we need to get behind one person, but it also potentially opens up, what was he pulling at, like 26-ish of people who now may go for between Gadlewski or Barnes, or I guess Alacara, who was on the stage as well.
Yeah, the most recent Marquette poll had Mandela at 25, Lazary 21, Gadlewski at 9, and Nelson at 7. So they're pretty close to the top. There was an internal that came out from the Mandela campaign. So take that with a grain of salt. It was an internal poll, but it had him opening up a 14-point lead. So, you know, I think a lot of people are starting to make up their minds about the race, who are undecided before, and that might be part of it. But, you know, for Main Street Alliance, my role with them, you know, our nonpartisan organization, we did hold a series of Senate roundtables across the state. We had one here in Madison at Cooper's Tavern. We had one in Milwaukee at Cactus Club, and one up in Appleton at Longchain Marketplace. And Alex Lazary both participated in the Milwaukee Roundtable, but also answered a candid questionnaire on our issues. And so we really appreciated the fact that he participated in that, and, you know, he made a real race of it. And so it's interesting now that two of the major candidates have dropped out with, you know, both Tom Nelson and with Lazary dropping out. And so we'll see what that means over the course of the next few weeks.
So as far as, I mean, maybe let's to pivot a little bit. So I gave a brief description of what Main Street Alliance does and is as far as its focus is giving voice to small businesses. And so what beyond that could you do you want to say as far as the work that you do and the policies and the kind of political advocacy that drives that?
Yeah. So Main Street Alliance has been around for about a decade nationally, and we expanded to Wisconsin in August of 2020. And really what we're working to do is help build power for small business. So on policy, we're focused on healthcare, childcare, paid leave, capital access, making sure small businesses can get the access to capital they need to start and grow. There's still a lot of discrimination that women and minority business owners still experience in that realm. And bringing in corporate monopolies like Amazon and Facebook and others. So, you know, we really focus on that work and work to help our members stay informed on the issues, but then really use their voice to help, you know, push policymakers to do better by Main Street. So we've done that over the course of the last 2 years. We've built, like I said, our membership up to 500 members here in the Madison area. We have a couple of members of our Wisconsin leadership team. State Representative Francesca Hong, who owns Morris Ramen, has been a fierce champion for MSA. Dave Heidi from Little John's, Patrick from Salvatore's Tomato Pies. And we're really working to build an organization that can advocate for those issues, but really help to make sure that actual small businesses have their have a seat at the table. Because for far too long, you know, these big business lobbies that are based here have not really, they've said they represent small business when they really don't.
So that's actually a question that I had is what is the criteria or the working definition of, because I think small businesses as a concept, it's almost like this is, I might get in trouble from this analogy, but I feel like they are often, the term small business is invoked often in the same way veterans are invoked, in this idea that the small working man who's an entrepreneur who's, we're trying to look out for the little guy, and yet often is not. And so for your purposes or MSA's purposes, what is the definition of a small business?
Yeah, so the Small Business Administration, their definition is 500 fewer staff. But I'll just use an example. We have a lot of members that are solopreneurs or people who are doing this part-time. For example, there's a member up in the Green Bay area who has a podcast, and it's monetized. And so it's a business. But it's just her, right? And then we have members that are bigger. I would say Hinterland Brewing is one of the larger members in the organization, and they're like 120 staff or so. So it really runs the gambit. But just in terms of the members that we represent in the state, that's, you know, kind of where they're at. And once you get to a certain size, your priorities and your affinities tend to shift. And so we try to keep in with the folks who have the most in common with each other, because most small business owners actually have more in common with their staff that they work with every day than a corporate CEO. And so their priorities are going to reflect that.
That's interesting. And so what do you, what are, as a company grows, what are the priorities or the patterns that you see that shift? And like, what is kind of the cutoff where you see that start to happen?
Yeah. So I would say, first off, healthcare is always a major issue. There's a lot of solopreneurs who the only reason why they're able to have the business is because they have a partner or significant other who gets healthcare through their job. And so that allows them to start the business, run the business. There are a lot of folks who do their business part-time because they have to have a 9-to-5 to be able to do that. And it really depends on the sectors. For example, we work on childcare issues. That's a big macroeconomic issue that we all need to be concerned about for the overall economy. But if you are a business that has mostly younger staff, that's maybe going to be less of a concern for your specific business, right? But, you know, for the five sort of core issues that we work on, they impact a lot of small business in one way or the other. That being said, like if you are, let's say, 1,000 staff, it's a lot easier to get group health insurance, right, than if you're 20. Or paid leave. You could give people paid time off because you have a big enough staff where if you lose a few people for 6 months, it's not the end of the world. So just like really the priorities tend to shift. And that's why we need to have a policy discussion that's centered on actual small businesses telling their real stories, as opposed to, you know, larger companies trying to essentially astroturf and say that they're representing small business when they really aren't.
And that was really interesting because that was a couple, I don't know, what is time anymore? But the, I think it was 2 weeks ago, Adam Murphy, who had been running for U.S. Senate, and a lot of the conversations that he is trying to have is how do you, as a Democrat, talk to conservative voters or people who are more moderate? And one of the things he always brings up is he is a small business owner. And for him, he can and has made it a priority to pay for like the top tier insurance. And with that has come loyalty from the people who've worked for him for like 17 years. But instead of, you know, something like universal healthcare being talked about in messaging as the right thing to do, flipping it on its head and saying how much this actually is a good business decision, because a lot of companies, small businesses like the ones you work with, are not in the position to be able to pay for healthcare for all of their employees. And then you have like situations where, you know, you have employees who don't take on more hours or don't take a promotion because the cliff of getting their benefits from something like Badger Care is so steep that it's not worth that promotion for the money that they're going to lose in benefits.
Yeah, and I've actually heard that quite a bit from small business owners that we work with, is that people have said exactly that. And that's why it is absolutely so obscene that our state has not taken the Medicaid expansion. I know you had a great TikTok about this last year, but 95,000 people would get coverage who don't currently have it. Our state would get an extra $1.6 billion that we could spend on just about whatever we want. But because of politics, it hasn't gotten done. We're trying to change the conversation around that issue to say, if we do get Badger Care expansion, we'll be able to ensure more people, help small business, and help folks be able to live out their dreams.
All right, well, we're going to take a quick break. Sean Fetteplace is my guest today, and this is As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry.